We're in Acts chapter 23, and I think we finished pretty much with verse 11. We may pick that up this morning. Go ahead and read that once again. "And the night following, the Lord stood by him," meaning Paul, "and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And Paul will use these words for comfort here for the next few years as we may learn about that here in just a little bit. But so Paul he'd come into Jerusalem. He'd been taken by the Jews, and then the captain of the guard there had came down and took Paul before he was pulled apart and took him up and started asking him. He was trying to get him to answer a few questions, and he had him bound, and that was illegal to do that to a Roman. And then so all of that stuff is what we'd studied last week. So Paul is here now, and he's being held by this captain, and we'll see now what's to come of that. So we'll be reading a little bit, and you all feel free to jump in. "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priest and elders and said, We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul." Now let's try to understand what's going on here. Paul, being a Christian, he believed in Jesus, and he is being held by this captain of the guard, and the Jews had been wanting to kill him anyway. But now you get 40 members, 40 Jews, that comes to the high priest, or to the chief priest, it says, and comes to the elders of the Jews, and they're trying to convince them, they're trying to push them politically and say, hey, here's what we want you to do. We want you to say that you want to talk to Paul and that you want to ask him a few questions, and when he comes out, we're going to kill him. And so to think about, just so you understand who it is that's going after Paul, this is the Jews, this isn't the Romans, keep that in mind, this is the Jewish people. And they've made this covenant with themselves, this agreement that they're not going to eat or drink till they kill him. "And they came to the chief priest and elders," it says, "and they had bound, for we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain." Now this council that they're talking about is the group of men more often mentioned as the Sanhedrins. So they have gone to them. So this goes to show how corrupt this group of Jews is. So when we read in here in the Bible, and it talks about the priest and the elders, they're given a title, but these men are no count. That's just the best way to put it. They just ain't no count. "Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though we would inquire something more perfectly concerning him, and we, or even ever he come near, are ready to kill him." So they're saying, hey, you all of the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin group, y'all talk to the chief captain and just ask him to send Paul down. That you got a few questions for him, and whenever you do, then we're going to jump on him and kill him. "And when Paul's sister's son," so Paul's nephew, "heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him," so one of the soldiers, "and said, Bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him." So Paul's told this centurion, hey, centurion, take this young man to the chief captain. He's got something to say to him. "So he took him and brought him to the chief captain, and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, What is that thou hast to tell me? And he said, The Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow unto the council, as though they would inquire some of what of him more perfectly. So they're, again, they're wanting to ask him questions about things. But do not thou yield unto them, for they're lying wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So this is, so the cat's out of the bag to the chief captain. He knows what's up because he's been told of Paul's sister's son. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast shown these things to me. So don't tell anybody that you've told me this and that I know anything about it. And he called unto him two centurions, saying, make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, so that's another 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night. So they've got 470 men. The third hour of the night would be 9 p.m. So this is late. This is, 3 hours past dark, I guess you could say, if you were to want to think night starting that way. Not necessarily that it got dark at that time, but we'll say it was dark by 9 anyway. And provide them beast that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. So the chief captain has decided, now keep in mind, chief captain's already in a pickle because he's bound this Roman named Paul and had him tied with thongs, which we found to be small pieces of leather. So, but it does seem that he is, he's wanting to clear his hands of this issue. So he's wanting to get this sent on to the governor. And he wrote a letter after this manner. Now we understand that the governor's name, or the chief captain's name anyway, Claudius Lysias unto the most excellent governor Felix, sending greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Now notice he didn't volunteer the information at what point he found him to be a Roman. He's kind of prettying this up a little bit, isn't he? Yeah. And when I have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. So reading between the lines there, what this chief captain is saying, he's done nothing on the Roman side to deserve any punishment. He's saying, I've perceived this to be a charge of their law. So the Roman chief captain is saying, whatever he's done, they're accusing him of breaking their law. So he could, hey, that's all a Roman, that's all a Jewish issue. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for, questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. So he's saying, I don't think he should die. I don't believe that he should even be in prison. And when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. So that was his letter, this chief captain, to the governor, Felix. Now, in the 31st, then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. Now this is just a little bit south. It ain't on this map. But he's coming from Jerusalem where he had been there in that mock trial and he's on his way up to Caesarea. So just south of that here on the coast is where he's going. That's where they made it out overnight anyway. But the plan is to go to Caesarea. Any thoughts on any of that? In the 32nd, on the morrow, so the next day, they left the horsemen to go with him and return to the castle. So some went back to the castle, and some stayed with Paul. It kind of reads that that would be the horsemen. Paul was riding some type of beast, it says, with them, that he was provided one. So we believe that they went on then up to Caesarea from there, but some went back to the castle there in Jerusalem. Who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was, and when he understood that he was of Cilicia, he said, I'll hear thee, said said he, when thine accusers are also come, and he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. So there in the 34, when we were reading, when it says there that he was from Cilicia. Now there in your center reference part there of your Bible, if you've got that, it probably referenced 21 and 39. So we can turn back there, and that's where Paul says that's where he was from. He says, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. So that backs up what Paul had said before. And now, when this governor Felix heard that, he said, he's from Cilicia, y'all hear him, because he could very well be a Roman up there, is probably what he's saying. I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come, and he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. So he said, okay, well, we'll have a hearing, but those that are accusing him from Jerusalem, they're going to come up here and they're going to tell their case. And it refers to Herod's judgment hall there. Now, I believe that to be speaking of the former Herod. We'll read of a man named Agrippa here in just a little bit, but there was a, according to world history, there was a Herod Agrippa the first, and this Herod Agrippa the second, which they refer to just as Agrippa. So this one would have been his hall, or it could have been even the prior Herod before that. So not just exactly sure, but they're referring to this judgment hall there of Herod. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. So in the 24th there, this is reminding you maybe of like a true modern day trial going on here. This recognize the high priest here descended with the elders and with a certain orator. So they're bringing the big guns, and they're bringing a well-versed, a very eloquent man, something is what we would see like a lawyer today, somebody that could speak very well, and that's what they mean by orator. So he's going to come in, and he's going to try to speak. An orator is a public speaker or one who is eloquent and skilled. So this man named Tertullus is going to be doing that. So here in the second, and when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, see that by thee we enjoy great quietness. So the first thing the lawyer is going to do, he's going to make it seem that he and the judge have a lot in common, and he's going to build up the judge and try to get him on his side. Well, you see that in modern times today. Well, that's exactly what this Tertullus is doing, speaking here to Felix. He's building him up, ain't he? Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. See how he's building him up here. And we accept it always, that in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. So he's building up Felix, and now he gets to his point. He says, I don't want to keep you long. How was he put it? That I be not further tedious unto thee. So I don't want to waste your time, but I want to tell you a few things about this pestilent fellow, as he refers to him. So looking at the fourth and the fifth there, this pestilent fellow, actually let's go back to the clemency. An appeal for mercy is what clemency means. So he said that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency, a few words, that we would just appeal to your mercy, noble Felix, that you would do the right thing about this issue. You kind of see how he's buttered him up there, right? And in the fifth, he said, we have found this man to be a pestilent fellow, meaning destructive to life is what pestilence is. So though he's bringing great strife on us. And a mover of sedition, it says. The... a mover of sedition among all the Jews. That's conduct or speech in a city or citing people to rebel against the authority of a state or a monarch. So that's what they're saying. He's a mover of sedition, that he's riling up the people and he's trying to get everybody to have a big uproar. And it says a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. So just as what you'll see today, if you speak to an Orthodox Jew, they won't, more than likely, they will not mention Jesus Christ, and they certainly won't mention his name or give him a title. That's what they're doing right here. They're avoiding even giving him any type of title. They're avoiding even mentioning his name as Jesus. They're referring to him as a sect of the Nazarenes because he was from Nazareth, wasn't he? Any thoughts on any of that so far? Anything at all? Y'all feel free now. Who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our laws. So now they're saying, well, he profaned the temple. Well, at one time, there was an accusation that he brought one of his guys in there with him that wasn't a Jew, that they claimed they brought him into the synagogue. But at this time, they're saying he'd gone about to profane the temple, of which, again, these are all accusations. They don't have any hard facts, and that's what Paul's going to tell them here in just a minute. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that, the governor, had beckoned unto him to speak. So now Felix is going to allow him to speak, and he's asked him to. Beckon unto him to speak, answered, "Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself." So Paul's leading into that. He said, yeah, you've been here for a long time. You know what's going on. In short, you know how corrupt this bunch can be. That's how I'm reading into it. Said, you've been around here and seen these things a long time. "Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Now, Paul had already divided one crowd back in Jerusalem with that statement, didn't he? And that's what he's saying here again. The only thing I'm guilty of is I'd made the statement that I know that Jesus is going to come back and that he's going to rise, or that he's already risen. So he believes in the resurrection. So that's what he's saying that he's admitting to, that he's done. The rest of it, I've done none of those things, and there's no proof of it. "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." Another strong statement by Paul. He had mentioned last week in the starting of the chapter. I think it was 23. If you go back and read 23:1, it said, "Paul earnestly, beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." Strong statements. We should all strive to be able to make those statements and be true in those things. Any thoughts at all? I feel like I'm kind of rushing this morning. "Now, after many years, I came to bring alms into my nation and offerings." Y'all remember back when Paul left Macedonia, he said, "I've got to be at Jerusalem." And he talked about he wanted to be there at Pentecost. And then it gave three or four other names, Tychicus and some of the others that he had that had joined him along the way as they traveled over into Macedonia and down into Corinth and back up. And before they come back, those were the things that was being brought. You can go back and read where Paul and Barnabas had brought things into Jerusalem. They had brought alms and stuff that was given to the poor there in Jerusalem. Well, that's what Paul's talking about here. He's bringing alms to my nation and offerings from all over his travels where he's been. He's bringing these offerings back to the poor there in Jerusalem. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. In 18, tumult, a loud, confused noise, or one caused by a large mass of people. So, yeah, they found me in the temple, but there wasn't no big stir. There wasn't anything going on, not what they say that was going on anyway. So he's in his best efforts trying to say, I'm being falsely accused here. Now, again, he's talking to the governor, Felix, of which is Roman. So, again, he's trying to say, if I've done anything, it's talking about the resurrection, and I've followed the law of the Jews, so I'm not only not guilty of anything to the Roman side, but I've done nothing that's of any guilt on my behalf, even to the Jews. So what are we doing here? Who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me? So he's telling them, if there's such a big deal, where's these Jews from Asia that said all of this stuff? Did you not ask them to come up, Felix, and let's talk about this? And who did they send up? They've sent up the high priest, and they sent up some orator. Where's my accusers? That's what Paul's saying here. They ought to be here. Or else let these same hearsay, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. So he's saying, anybody that's here, did y'all see me do anything? Y'all got anything to speak of? Did y'all see me do anything? Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. So that's all I've done. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. Now, Lysias was the chief captain, right? And Felix heard these things, and he said, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them. So, deferred meaning to put off or to put off an action or an event, postpone, something like that, right? That's what defer there would mean. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. So he said, hey, you keep up with him, this centurion, and don't forbid anybody that wants to come see him. Any of his acquaintances or anybody wants to come see him, you allow that to happen. Now, where we started at this morning on 23:11, it's hard for us to see what Paul's fixing to go through, because as you get through the end of this chapter, we're going to, there in the 27th, it talks about Paul will be there for 2 years. 2 years passes by while he's being held, waiting for this chief captain to come, supposedly. But I think Felix has other agenda. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I don't think it was basically, hey, we've got him out of Jerusalem. The fire's kind of been put out. We're going to keep Paul here for a couple of years to please the Jews, and y'all just going back to Jerusalem, and we'll leave Paul stuck in here in his jail. But like I said, going back to 23:11, I'm sure it's hard for Paul to see the Lord in this, but the Lord told him, you'll stand for me in Rome. Yeah. So 2 years of this stuff goes by, of him being imprisoned. Yeah, he could have people to come in and see him, and things of that nature, but somehow Paul drew strength out of what the Lord told him, and he didn't forget it, and he stayed strong, and he stayed encouraged somehow or the other to know that this wasn't the end, and that he was having to endure things for certain reasons that he may not understand, But he would stand in Rome. Ain't that something? I wish we could be that strong in time of our afflictions and in time of our, when we just think, boy, the Lord's just left us out here to dry, ain't he? Yeah. Left old Paul in there in that, in essence, a prison there for a couple of years to be held. So picking up in the 24th, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call thee." So Paul was able to say some things there in his testimony, there at this mock trial. He'd mentioned the resurrection, and I believe it made Felix think there, didn't it? So Felix dismissed the mock trial that they were having. It said that they postponed it, but now you see Felix coming back, him and his wife wanting to come and talk to Paul kind of by themselves and wanting to find out a little bit more about this. And how does Paul present it? And the Bible says it's broken down into three different sections here. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And that convenient season we've heard about, preached about so many times, and it is pretty to think that you would have time at your leisure, that a convenient season would be there, but that's not how it is. You need to go to the Lord when he's dealing with you. And I believe at this point, Felix and Drusilla, Felix was to the point he was dealt with that he brought Drusilla with him. So they wanted to find out, it seems, but he was waiting for a convenient season. And we don't see where that ever came about, do we? In the 26th, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. Now, why would he think that? Why would he think that Paul had any money? Going back to what we had read there in the 17th, he said that, "Now after many years I have come to bring alms to my nation and offerings." Paul came back with, if there was money to be given, if there was things to be given, he gave it to the poor of Jerusalem. And this Felix knew about that. And he was basically holding Paul for the next 2 years in hopes that Paul would give him money, that he would pay his way out of jail. But how Paul was looking at these things is, that ain't for me to use. It's already been given. Yeah. So what did Paul choose to do? He's going to stay in there for 2 years, and he's not going to offer any money, first of all, because it wasn't God's plan, and it sure wasn't for Paul to use that money to get himself out of hot water, was it? What an example. But he said also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So he's saying that he might, wherefore he sent for him the oftener. So he went to him often. Went to him not just once, but it appears that he went to him quite a few times maybe. And it says that he went to him oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So we get introduced to a new guy here, Porcius Festus. What's going on here is Felix's term is up as governor / procurator, and now we've got a new man in charge. Felix is out, and Festus is in. But it says that Felix wanted to keep him bound to show the Jews a pleasure. Any thoughts to any of that? According to the timeline that I could find, Felix reigned in from 52 to 59, and Festus starts to reign in 59 to 62. And this position of governor, as it's mentioned here in the Bible, procurator was another word used that I've seen in some of the study. But a little bit of history going back. So Judea had Roman governor, and this man would not be under Agrippa's authority, even though Agrippa would be referred to as a king, and he is, but this Agrippa was young when he took over to be a king. So they didn't give him this whole area. If you're looking here at her map, this Agrippa was a real young man. Now, here's Rome all the way over here. So recognize that Rome has its hand on even a much larger area than what we could see of this map. And because there was such a stir all the way down here in Jerusalem, they were given a governor. When this new young Agrippa took over, he couldn't handle all of this. So they let him start with a small area, but there was always somebody down here that took care of that. Now, they, like I said, they weren't given the king title. But you'll recognize as we read on through the next few chapters that King Agrippa didn't necessarily have any charge over Festus here. You see that they talk about it, but Festus is pretty much an equal to what King Agrippa was. And then recognizing that there was kings over all of these areas that reported back to whom? It had been Caesar of Rome. So you had one great big guy, and then you had a bunch of kings over here up to the south and the east portion. But then down in here in this corner, they always had somebody assigned to that. And they were always to put out any fires, anything that come up, any big uprisings. And that's what we understand this governor / procurator to be. Any thoughts on any of that? We may touch on this in the 25th just a little bit. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. So his first day on the job, he's there for about 3 days, and then he goes down to Jerusalem. Now Paul's been in this imprisonment for 2 years and kind of forgot about. Felix had went to him and his wife had went to him a few times, and now the Jews have been satisfied, not hearing a lot out of him. Now we got a new man on the job. He's there 3 days. Now he's heading down to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. So the first thing he gets to Jerusalem, they're asking the new guy, hey, what about that Paul guy up there? What do you know about him? And desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, lying wait in the way to kill him. So their plan, it's still intact, although those that vowed not to eat or drink till they killed him, I'm sure they've gone and passed by now, right? So that's just something to think about. But they still have not forgot. Their plan is to kill Paul if they can convince this new governor to allow him to come out, and same plan as before, hey, bring him down, let's have a talk with him. And as soon as he comes out, they plan to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. So keep Paul there. I'm going to be leaving here in a little while anyway. Just leave him up there. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. So if y'all have got anything to accuse him of, you come down with me. And again, geographically, think about every time you read about Jerusalem. You know, here in this area, we talk about going down to Hartsville because it's south of here. Or we're going over to Westmoreland. Or we're going over to maybe Salina. But when you read in the Bible, it always talks about when they leave Jerusalem, they're going down somewhere. And that's called elevation. Jerusalem was on a hill. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. So he's back. He's the new guy in charge. Evidently, some accusers have shown up. So they're going to have this trial, and they've asked for Paul to be brought out. So Paul's going to tell them pretty much the exact same thing after 2 years' time, what come about. But we may be at a good stopping point this morning. Would there be any questions? Anything to touch on? feel free to read into this, and we're going to get into this portion with Festus, and we're going to see how it goes there, and then Agrippa's going to talk with him, and then they're going to send him on to Rome, and that's where we're going to continue following this Macedonian call from where we first got started and understanding what all of this was, and now we're going to follow Paul to Rome from there out. But y'all bear with us and appreciate your input. If nothing else, we'll consider ourselves dismissed this morning.